four beasts said, Amen. Amen. To Jesus Christ belongs power. And the apostles understood this. They knew that. King Jehoshaphat knew that as well. And so Peter and John were properly giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in this incident that happened. So we're aware that in the previous chapter, recently we had Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 3, and 5, and now we're reading here in chapter 4. And so we're familiar with that in chapter 3, that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray at about the ninth hour towards the evening, and that lame man was there, and they, in the name of Jesus, were able to give him, make him to be whole, and to allow him to walk. And Peter, really quickly, when he saw that they were all marveling and they were all greatly wonder, he says, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Peter and John said, "This is not by us. Power belongs to Jesus Christ. Power belongs to Jesus Christ." And he very clearly told the people there, the people of Israel, that it was faith in Jesus Christ that has made this man to be whole. And the power belonged to Jesus. And so it was that Peter and John were proclaiming to the people, Jesus Christ was crucified, but God raised him from the dead. But he wants you to repent, and God forgives that, but he wants you to repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so they believed. And so it was that, if we look at the timeline, they approached the temple at the ninth hour towards the evening, and they were preaching to the people and talking to them about Jesus Christ and how he was the Messiah and how the prophets had foretold of Jesus Christ. And they were boldly proclaiming, again, because they knew that power belonged to Jesus Christ, and that when Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," they knew that that was true. That wasn't a prideful statement. That was truth being spoken. And so they were bold in their proclamation of who Jesus was to all the people there, and 5,000 of them believed. And then so it happens that as they were speaking to the people, that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. Now, if we look at that previous chapter, it doesn't actually specifically say that Peter and John had mentioned the resurrection. But in mentioning of and preaching of Jesus through the time that they had from the ninth hour until this time, that certainly the topic of the power of the resurrection and of Jesus' resurrection from the dead had come up. And so these Sadducees and those that came to the rulers of the temple and captain of the temple, as they came to Peter and John, they were grieved that they were preaching about Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And it says that they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. The ninth hour had come. It's the evening. They had been preaching to the people, and these rulers of the temple came, the captain of the temple, they came, and they were being grieved, and they were thought, well, the day is ended. It's too late to do anything about this now. We'll put them in prison overnight, and we'll address it in the morning. And it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And this is very interesting that the Lord had made it so that this multitude of the rulers of the temple were all gathered together. They all came to Jerusalem. They all came here together. And it was now a perfect opportunity for Peter and John to speak in boldness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to proclaim to them that he was their Messiah, he was Emmanuel, and that they had missed it. And so this multitude, again, think of this as this great group of leaders of the temple. They were all gathered together, they in a larger number, and it's just Peter and John. And it's the morning, and truly Peter and John of themselves were not able to withstand this Jewish council that was here. They had the power. Peter and John were simply seen as unlearned and ignorant men. And just as it was with King Jehoshaphat, he could not withstand the armies of the Ammonites and the Moabites in Mount Seir. And so they ask him, this Jewish council asked Peter and John, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And it just seems that, again, the Holy Spirit was working, not only that all this Jewish council would be together and that they would hear this proclamation of who Jesus Christ was, but the question that they asked almost teed up perfectly how they should respond to this council. They asked, by what power and by what name? Perfect. Great question, because I'll tell you exactly who that power was and by what name we have done this in making this impotent man whole. And so then Peter, not of himself, though he was bold in times past, not of himself, it says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost working in him and bringing out the perfect message that this Jewish council needed to hear. And so Peter, through the Holy Ghost, says, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. All of you, Jewish council, be it known unto you all, but not only to you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no mistaking there about who it was and how it was, what name that healed this impotent man, but it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom they were very familiar with, very familiar with. And then he says, whom ye crucified, whom ye crucified. And again, they were very familiar with all that transpired there, that happened there. And then they said, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Beautiful response to their question of by what name or by what power ye have done this. It was by the name of Jesus Christ and through his power that this impotent man has been made whole. And it was he whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This response of Peter and John to this Jewish council could be viewed as harsh, but it also, I believe more so, is a confirmation to them that this is truth. This is what transpired. This is exactly what's truth. And so they spoke the truth in love. Because the Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ came to his own. And Christ, when he was there upon the cross, in his great, great love, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so I believe in that same manner that that Peter and John came to these Jewish council, and they could have been, they could have tried to retribute to them that which they did to Peter and John, in that Peter and John were cast into prison overnight. So they came in love, and they're saying, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The Jewish people tried to put away Jesus Christ. They tried to put him away. But it's become the head of the corner, the main piece of the building. And so, and then Peter and John make this final proclamation of truth to the Jewish council, saying, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This is that name that saves, that name that gives life, and there is salvation in none other. And this is only how we can be saved. And again, because Peter and John heard that message where Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." There is no other way. And so Peter and John, now being witnesses of that which they had heard, had spoke to the Jewish council that there is salvation in, neither is there salvation in any other. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So here it is. The Jewish council, who was supposed to be in control of the temple, control of the people, rulers of the people, they thought that, well, I've never seen Peter and John at any of the rabbinical schools, or I've never known them to be in any of the in any of the schooling there in Jerusalem. They must be unlearned and ignorant men. But now they're marveling. Oh, you too were with Jesus. Oh, okay. So you know about the crucifixion. You know that we held that council when we arrested him and tried him overnight. You were aware of that. Oh, okay. Oh, and you were also aware that when we placed him in the tomb and put a stone in front of that tomb, that you're also aware then that we paid large money to the soldiers that they would say that they fell asleep, the soldiers fell asleep, and the disciples came and took that body by night. And they secured them to the governor. And so they marveled, and they knew, when they knew that they had been with Jesus. "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, which is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" So they knew, okay, this 40-plus-year-old man is now walking, and everybody knows about it, and we can't deny it. We tried to deny it that Jesus Christ didn't resurrect, but that his disciples had stolen away the body. But this, we're not going to be able to do that. We can't deny this. Everybody knows about it. 5,000 men had been witnesses to it, and now they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So their plan was now that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And again, Peter and John, they could be very bold because they knew that power belonged to Jesus Christ. All power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And the heavenly hosts all speak and glorify the Lord Jesus, saying, "Thou art worthy to receive power." And when they knew these things, Peter and John knew these things, they were not afraid to tell the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, that that they would not stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard." They felt compelled. They felt it was very, very necessary, Peter and John, that they had to speak of the power of Jesus Christ, and that there can be that we can rise just as he rose, and that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they were filled with boldness because they knew that power belonged unto Jesus Christ. And again, if we go to chapter 1, Jesus speaks to them and saying that ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. And this is what happened, that it just so happened that the relatives of the chief priests and everyone of them, they all happened to come to Jerusalem, and Peter and John were now witnessing to them of who Jesus Christ was and all that transpired there in that time, and how they missed the Messiah. And so it happens that they further, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, threatened them, Peter and John, and told them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. And so what did they do? What did they do? They did the same thing that King Jehoshaphat did. Peter and John went to their own people, went to have fellowship, spiritual fellowship with their own company. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Just as King Jehoshaphat gathered all the people together and they prayed together. And that's exactly what Peter and John did. And those that were with them, the company that they were. And it says when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. And that's the response that we ought to have, is that when we have challenges in our life, is that we turn to the Lord. We turn to the Lord. And we find strength and encouragement one with another. And so they prayed to God, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. Very similar prayer to what King Jehoshaphat prayed. And then they he refers back to David's psalm in Psalm number 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Just as the armies of Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir, just as they gathered together against the children, the country of Judah. This is the same thing that happened here. Of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So note that the prayer here didn't say, well, take care of the Jewish council, dear Lord. Cast them aside. That wasn't what they prayed for. And actually, neither did King Jehoshaphat pray for. But that the glory of the Lord would be revealed, and that they, Peter and John, and the apostles and the believers here at this time would with all boldness speak the word of God. That despite the challenge that was present, that they would still proclaim with boldness the word of God. And it's, again, a beautiful testimony to us as well of how we ought to lean upon the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord, and not that of ourselves. Not that of ourselves. There's many more thoughts that could be shared on this chapter, and I want to wrap it up here. It says, but as they prayed together, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Lord does wonderful things when we turn to him, and when we trust in him, and when we glorify him. We spoke of the power of Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ declared. And in the first chapter, again, of the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus Christ, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power was given through the Holy Spirit. And then also power comes from God as well. That in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is talking and saying that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not of us. Not our power. We see here that the Jewish council, they had no power. They thought they had power because they could put John and Peter in prison overnight. They had no power. They had no power. And then when we look at the next chapter and we see about Ananias and Sapphira, and Peter speaks to Ananias and he says, when you sold that land, was it not in your own power? In his own power, Ananias failed. The Jewish consul, in their own power, they fail. And over and over, we could see the children of Ammon and Moab. In their own power, they failed. In their own power. But not when we're endued with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ. We do not fail. We do not fail. And we look to him whenever troubles arise, whenever there are difficulties in our lives. We do as it was in King Jehoshaphat's time, in Peter and John's time, that we gather together and we pray and we lean upon the Lord and we trust in him. It says that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. The power of being together, of one heart and one soul, was made manifest here. And then it says here, and with great power of their own? No, of the Lord's power. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is what they were called to do. And we are also to give powerful witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in our lives. We believe that he died for us, and that by his shed blood we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins, and that he was placed in the tomb. But he was not left in that tomb, but that he resurrected by the power of God. And as he rose from the dead, we likewise can rise from the dead as well. And we can testify of these things, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. What a blessing that is. You know, when we yield ourselves to the Lord, just as Peter and John did, when we do his bidding, when we speak forth his word, we place ourselves in a unique position where great grace can be given unto ourselves. We don't feel we deserve it, but great grace can be given unto us when we yield ourselves to the Lord. And he can bless us, and that abundantly. More than we ask, he is able to give unto us. The calendar I have at home has a verse on it each day, and yesterday's verse had Psalm 86:10, which says, "For thou art God, and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone." This is who we set our minds to, is this God alone who does wondrous things and who is great. We trust in him. We look to him when the battles rage. We are trusting in him. We pray to him, and we allow his power to work in our hearts, in our lives. And then we can do as the children of Judah did. They can go up to that tower and just see the dead bodies all over the ground and marvel at the Lord's doing. Marvel at the Lord's work. And Peter and John had done this as well. They marveled at the Lord's work. May we trust in the Lord. May we look to him. May we pray to him that when the battle rages, we might place our trust in him who can do all things. Amen.
The Lord's ways are perfect, and his wisdom is past our finding out. We have spoken much today about the victories and those seasons of life. And yet for this flesh and our experience here below, it may or may not work out quite this way. We may be called to suffer for Jesus' name and endure and then give our lives and be welcomed into the Lord's presence. He may not provide the victory here upon for men's eyes to see, or for this flesh to feel, but for our souls. There were those who had given a testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And in Revelation, it says that they loved their lives not unto the death. And yet they found that which they were longing for, that which they were looking for, in the fellowship with Jesus Christ and his sufferings. So, whether it is the Lord's goodwill to provide us a miraculous deliverance as described in these accounts that we've read of, or that through our tears and through our blood, we may witness of God's grace and the firmness of our faith, or the sufferings that we endure and the mocking of someone else that we take patiently without seeking vengeance, because it is the right thing to do. May God's will be done. For we know that God has done something marvelous. I was talking with a brother about this morning. He noticed that God didn't need to send armies of angels to deliver Jehoshaphat. He used the armies that were fighting against each other in their own nature. Later on, he would send an angel to fight the Assyrians for Hezekiah and send forth his armies. But as was mentioned this afternoon and even in the prayer, a friend outside of Christ, you seek to overcome sin and the devil and your own flesh, and you find that you are also in a battle that's impossible for yourself. And you hear the word of salvation, and you do not find within yourself what you need, that you might be able to participate and partake. And you say, like Abraham and like Peter and like Jehoshaphat, Lord, if this is going to happen, you will have to do something. And the scripture gives us testimony that Jesus has said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he has done something, not sending the armies of his angels, but his only begotten Son for us, which is a far greater level of involvement and love, concern, and power. And he came to do something for you. He said, Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And this is exactly what the priests did not want. They wanted a religion where they could keep their iniquities, rather than finding that forgiveness, finding the strength to be able to put them behind, and the love of God to endure. But Jesus Christ has been sent to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. May we seek him. May we praise his name at all times, whether they be for the benefit or pleasant for our flesh or not. May we have that song within our hearts this week and the days to come, that we would give all praise to the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.